We are so blessed in just the gifts and talents that have been assembled here at Harvest, with our specifically with our worship team. I love when Kara starts to kind of narrate and kind of just, you know, speak and sing. I feel like I could get a CD of the alphabet of her and probably listen to that. I was thinking, if she could be my GPS navigation, I may like have less like just anxiety, you know. It's like, turn left up past the light. You just passed it. We'll figure this out. Like, you know, like it's just a calming, like, presence. I appreciate that. But we're in a series called Advancing the Gospel, our faith advancing, being like Hogan and our team was challenging us this morning. This is it. Being drawn up, or you could go down, like growing deeper, being drawn, and so we're looking at this series. Brad Rainey shared last week's message and really kicked this off, and I thought he did a phenomenal job, because I love when you have a message and you're looking at Scripture and it becomes this call. This universal call to all of us, this call that is calling us out of the bleachers and to get in the game, right? It's this call that to not be a spectator or a consumer, but this call to be a contributor, to be a part. And so I really felt like that struck a chord in, I know for me and many of us in looking in this series about what Jesus taught on and spent his life with the time that he had with his disciples, and then what he calls us too as our church. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Brad gave us kind of this overarching vision of the Great Commission to go and to make disciples, to baptize, to preach the gospel, and not just here in this place, but to all the ends of the earth. And so today we're going to talk about more of the nuts and bolts. What does that look like? That call, what does that look like in the local church here, specifically even at Harvest? So we're going to be in Acts 2. If you've got a Bible app, or you've got your Bible with you, we're going to be in Acts 2. And mostly we're going to be kind of 37 through the end, 37 to 47, 42 to 47. And Acts 2 is the coming of the Holy Spirit. The beginning of, in verse 1, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues as a fire appeared on them and rested on each one of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues, other languages, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And so we come, and we've taught on this as we went through the book of Acts last year. Peter stands and gives this sermon, really this first recorded sermon, so to speak, that we have recorded in Scripture in the New Testament. And he stands and he shares his heart, what God has for him to say. And ultimately, in verse 36, let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you've crucified. And so he shared who Jesus is, the prophecy, the background, and he's come to this resting point. And in verse 37, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. Then and said to Peter and the rest of the apostle brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent, be baptized for every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. In verse 40, and with many other words he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And now 42 goes on and says, and they devoted themselves, the apostles, those that have been added to the church, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, who was teaching Christ's teaching, and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as they had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. And so in Acts 2, in this chapter, it's not only this historical statement about the first few months of the Christian movement, but it's also... It's about the presence of God that we see in the community of the believers. It's about the priorities of this authentic church. And it's about tells us about the process of the church growing. And so an authentic church is a church in which God is present. We know and see that God is present in the passages that we read there on the day of Pentecost, and continuing from that point. The teaching of the apostles focused on the fulfillment of God's promises in Jesus and in the coming Holy Spirit. The breaking of bread, when it includes the celebration of the Lord's Supper, reminds the believers of God's plan of salvation. He sent Jesus to the cross in order that sins might be forgiven and this promised new covenant that was made. The presence of God was experienced and seen in the miracles that happened through the apostles. The presence of God was experienced and seen and invoked, really, in the prayers of praise in which the believers express their gratitude for God's blessings through Jesus. And this effective presence of God was experienced in these new conversions, right? In this continued growth in the church. And so we can see and recognize and understand that in this church, a true church, God is present. Now, an authentic church is a church whose priorities are set by the gospel, right? And so that's something that we strive and long for, even as a leadership and as a body of believers here at Harvest. One of the first priorities or a main priority of a church whose priorities are set by the gospel is teaching. Is looking at the word, diving into the word. How does that apply? The teaching of the apostles is and always must be central to the local church. That primary focus is on Christ, God's salvation through Jesus' death, his resurrection, his exaltation, and really this integration into this new community of believers. So it has to do with Christ. It has to do with that death, burial, and resurrection. And it's about this community of believers coming together under that. During that teacher, you place significance on the scriptures that are read, that are explained, they're applied, and they're lived out. The second priority or dynamic that we see in the church is fellowship. The community of believers is exactly that. It's a community where members are one because they've accepted Jesus as Savior and because they have all received that transforming spirit. There is a common thread through all that are apart. And the church is a fellowship that, in that the believers meet at one place, listen to the teaching of God, of the Word of God, praise God, share meals together, love each other, share resources with others around them. We see a priority in Scripture of this breaking of bread. Now, this includes sharing meals as an expression of belonging to one family, the family of God's people. And I start thinking about that. This week, I start thinking specifically about we are purposeful in sharing a meal together at the beginning of the month. And we just kind of picked that as a time to be able to plan and place it on the calendar. But we're very purposeful in wanting to do that. And I started thinking about, you know, fellowship, of coming together, of being apart. And there's very few things that speak of family more than sharing a meal together. When you come together as your biological family, and I understand many of us grew up in a lot of different backgrounds and different environments, and everybody's story is different. But if you grew up and your family came together and you shared a meal together, that was unique to any other experience of everyone around you, right? You came and shared that meal together. And that's something that we do here at Harvest that I think is unique in building that family. It's probably the most family thing that we do. And there's deep roots in that, in sitting down and sitting across or next to one another and sharing a meal together. It also, the breaking of bread is not only speaking of sharing a physical meal together, but it's also speaking of communion, of recognizing and celebrating the death and resurrection of Jesus. So when we break bread, we should praise God and remember Jesus' sacrifices during that time. And ultimately then, we are reminded of the needs of those around us and challenged to help, as we see in Scripture. The fourth dynamic that we see in the church is prayer. There's constant and joyful prayer acknowledging the presence of God in the midst of his people. It's through that prayer that there can be personal transformation. Through those prayers, through Christ. And you have to understand our physical body. When you look at this passage where it says that there was a willingness to sell earthly items, to share with one another openly, and being able to see all of those who are in need. That's through prayer. That's through heart change. And that's through a deep level of family that you see these early believers in the early church coming together to share with one another. That doesn't happen typically to just a complete stranger that you walk up to. That happens when you have fellowship, when you have relationship, when you are praying over and the Spirit leads you and shows you a need. And constant and joyful prayer acknowledges that only God can lead unbelievers to repentance. We saw a huge response to Peter's message, to the Holy Spirit drawing those to his word that he had shared. Luke's summary in 2:42-47 that we read, right before that is preceded by a statement of mass conversion, and then at the end it talks about this continued growth at this regular pace. In the church, I believe the growth of a church happens when the church has the right priorities. Churches grow when the gospel is proclaimed. The priority of the teaching of the apostles concerns not only instruction for believers, but also includes outreach to the unbelievers. Not only do we strive for the depth and understanding of the word, but we share the word with the lost. God's gospel. Churches grow, just as we've talked about, grow when the church is a fellowship. Luke attributes the continued growth to the church of the believers meeting in the temple and then in private homes and listening to the teaching, sharing meals, sharing with those in need, and praising God in prayer. And these meetings we see attracted unbelievers who became willing to repent, who came into an understanding of what the gospel meant. We see in Scripture it said that they had favor with those around them. Not only were these people willing to repent, but to commit themselves to faith in Jesus, to be baptized as the fields are doing this afternoon, and making that public proclamation. And then to join in the fellowship of followers of Jesus. Ultimately, we have to understand that this is not from anything we do as our human actions. We follow the Holy Spirit and we act on that, but it is only God can cause unbelievers to seek salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. And so only God is able to increase the number of believers. The continued and regular growth of a church is always the result of work of God. If it's indeed the community of the followers of Jesus, which grows rather than the number of people sitting are attending the Christian meetings. And so it's possible for numerical growth to be nothing more than attraction of an entertainment. Numerical growth is authentic church growth only if and when people find faith in Jesus, the crucified, the risen, the exalted Savior. And when they receive the presence of the Holy Spirit and then invisibly, powerfully change their lives. And so what we're seeing in Scripture and what we want to be aware of in the local church is it's easy to try and put together a process that may, what Scripture say, tickle our ears, tell us what we want to hear, maybe even fill us with emotion. And those things may happen. The Spirit may share and may move us. Absolutely. But when just sitting or consuming or entertaining, that's not the church. The church is walking alongside of one another. The church is sharing the gospel with those around us. The church is growing in our depths of the Scripture, becoming more Christ-like. And ultimately, seeing change in one another. And so, what does that mean for us here at Harvest? Our challenge as a body is to keep these dynamics that we see recorded throughout Scripture, and many times in Acts, not just in 2:42 through 47. But many times through the New Testament, it talks about the church and attributes and things that they were a part of and doing. And so our challenge as a body is to keep those dynamics center in all that we do. We long for growth. We long for the gospel to be advanced, right? That's our series, Advancing the Gospel. We long for growth. We long for authentic growth, because with that, then that means that there are lives being transformed. And that's ultimately what that message, what the Great Commission is calling us to, is to be a conduit, a hands and feet to share that message and to walk alongside of one another in transformed lives. Brad shared the vision here at Harvest, and I think we've got the beginning of that is to engulf the community with the love of Christ. And that's where the rubber hit the road for many of us last week as we talked about this and looking at this commission, that it's not about just consuming, but it's about being a part. It's about contributing. Because it's not just the church as a whole called to the Great Commission, right? It's each and every one of us as believers. But as a body, we want and we seek to engulf the community with the love of Christ. And as you continue to read that, it's penned for Harvest in those that helped found this fellowship, that would incorporate three different things as well. Taking the good news of Jesus to them, Matthew 28:19. In teaching and equipping them to obey Jesus, Matthew 28:20. And then sending people out for Jesus in Acts 1:8. So when you look at that as a whole, to engulf the community with the love of Christ, taking the good news of Jesus to them, teaching and equipping them to obey and sending people out, you get a full picture of what we long for here at Harvest. And when you look at that and kind of meditate on it and look at it in Acts and the passage that we're in and throughout Scripture, there becomes this rhythm. There becomes this rhythm that we see in Scripture and in the life of the church. And there's this dynamic, the taking the good news is this connecting place. Connecting and then through the teaching and equipping them to obey, there's this growth, this growing that happens. And then as we come through the teaching and equipping, then we seek to send people out, serving those around us. And so we have this connecting and this growing and this serving, and we have this rhythm that begins to unfold that we can start to see through many different passages. We see all of these different dynamics that we see that Jesus calls the local church, that we see in Scripture, these different dynamics. It can all be placed under these, the worship, worshiping God and sharing the gospel. And becoming more Christ-like, discipleship. In fellowship, the growing of relationships, we see serving those around us. And so we see all these different dynamics that Brad was sharing with us last week through the Great Commission. We see the church called to. We as a body and as believers are called to connect, are called to grow, and are called to serve. And really, you could look at that in this up, in, and out dynamic as well. Up. In connecting with our Heavenly Father, in connecting with one another, and out connecting with the world. And so we come to a point this morning that we want to evaluate, where are we at? Where am I at? Our faith is to be active, it is to be lived out. There are steps and a rhythm to that. Do you long to find refuge? Do you long to find refuge? I believe that this is that place. Do you long for an authentic relationship with Christ? you long for an authentic relationship for Christ, with Christ, I believe this is that place. Do you long to grow deeper in your understanding of who Christ is? Deeper in your faith, I believe this is that place. Do you long to actively live out your faith and serve maybe in these walls? But as we'll see next week, as much in these walls as outside of these walls. Do you long to actively live out your faith? I believe this is that place. We want these passages. We want this book to guide and direct this church. And so that's what why we meet on the first, why our leadership meets on the first and third Wednesdays of every month. It's why we pray together, why we bounce ideas off of one another, why we ask questions of one another. Because we don't want to get this wrong. We want to be a church that is living out the Great Commission, the Great Commandments. And so we understand that we are to be building the kingdom. And so I challenge us as a body of believers, as a church, to come alongside, to see where each and every one of us are at and where he's calling us to be drawn deeper, like Hogan had shared. And so this morning we are going to share communion with one another. We're going to break bread together. That remembrance of who Christ is and what was done on our behalf. That's a dynamic of the church. We've prayed and we've worshiped with one another. That's a dynamic of the church. Many of you are going to walk out of this place and have conversations and be able to speak into one another. That's part of the church. We want Harvest to grow from authentic relationships. And so I'm inviting you as a body of believers, as our faith family, to get in the game, to actively live out our faith. And so as we come this morning to share communion, I just encourage you to pray with one another, to share a word with one another. Maybe someone, the Lord has put someone on your heart, or maybe even a family or a situation. But I would encourage you to spend time reflecting on that and reflecting on what was done on our behalf through Jesus. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you just for your word. I thank you for this family of believers. I thank you just for this time that we can look at ourselves, at your church, to ensure that we are aligned with you, to ensure that you are guiding, directing. God, we do not want this to be just a list of tasks appointed by man's heart. But God, we want this to be a true, authentic church as you have laid before us. And so guide and direct us in that. Guide and direct those that call the Harvest their home, and in how they are a part as ministers of the gospel themselves, how they can be active in their faith. And so, God, we just call for this this movement, that we would be a movement and not a monument to you. God, we pray these things in your Son's name.